Once there was a man who had two sons. The younger boy asked his dad for his share of the family wealth and then squandered it on decadent living. Then, penniless and hungry, the son returned to his father in the hopes that his dad would take him in as a hired hand. But instead, the father welcomed his son with open arms and celebrated his homecoming with a great feast. Now, the elder son was understandably angry at his brother who had dishonored the family. But the father showed compassion for the hard-hearted son and tenderly explained, "This brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." A remarkable true story from the Bible, the world's most important book. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we love Jesus, trust the Bible, and champion faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu.
The spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
You know, even at Christmas time, Bo's got to have McCartney or one of those guys, right?
You know, they were incredible, man. They wrote some fantastic songs, and this was one of them.
This is Chuck King and Biff Gore sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts on You Get the Blessing. We have a special treat today. We have Frank DeAngelis on with us, and we're excited to have you join us. Get up and get on the road. I hope you're on the way to church. Yeah. And you're going to go to church this morning by listening to Frank.
That's right. Well,
thanks for having me. This is a special treat for me.
We're honored to have you. You know, you're a man among leaders and a leader among men. So we appreciate you being here.
Well, it's my pleasure.
There's hardly anyone in Colorado that doesn't know Frank DeAngelis or the work that you've done. But give us a little bit of background into how you got into what you're doing now, which is basically being a retired principal and teaching others how to be leaders.
Well, I'll tell you, had an uncle. I'm full-blooded Italian, and I had an Uncle Vito, believe it or not. And he said, you know, choose a job you love, and you never have to work a day in your life. And, boy, there wasn't a day that I didn't want to walk into Columbine High School. And I truly believe it's all about passion. And if you love what you're doing, you're going to be affecting people. And I think I was so blessed to have a career where I enjoyed leaving, and I think so many times, or enjoyed being there. And I think so many times in our life, I'm saddened when people are counting the days until they retire or how many Mondays they have left. And people asked me as my career was coming to an end, they said, "Are you counting the days?" I said, "I am, because that's 20 less days I get to spend at Columbine High School and wonderful teachers like Brian Halsey and wonderful students. And I miss the kids and making a difference in people's lives." And I'm sure all of us that are sitting around this table right now were impacted by a teacher or a coach who made a difference. And mine was Mr. Dittman. And I just want to make a difference, and I think retired now, I have an opportunity to even take my message nationally or internationally, and I'm looking forward to that.
And in a nutshell, what is that message?
You know, it's all about relationships. It's all about people. It's all about caring. It's making the world a better place, developing leadership capacity. And one of the things I did at Columbine, I think one of the things I was really proud is I developed that leadership capacity not only amongst students or amongst teachers, but allowing the teachers to spread that on the students. And I know last week Brian Halsey and his wife Tricia talked about the Big Idea Project, and that exemplifies what we need to do, because these young people are our future. And it's important that we teach them math, science, and social studies, but it's also important that we teach them the leadership skills that will allow them to be successful in their next journey in life.
We did talk with Tricia and Brian last week, who are the founders of the Big Idea Project. And as an administrator who supported that, and I believe you're now on their board, is that correct?
I am.
And tell us why that makes a difference to an administrator in a school.
I think it's so important. What we see a lot of times is we see kids do really well academically, but research shows if if they can connect to certain projects or ideas, whether it be through athletic or the performing arts or a project such as the Big Idea Project, that it enhances their chances of doing well academically, but also buying into what we're doing. And the Big Idea Project really was something that I felt Columbine High School needed, because we're in a community where there's a lot of parental support. Socioeconomically, kids do fairly well. But we wanted to teach these kids to give to the less fortunate. So many times in our life, it's a me generation. And I think the thing that made me proud is when I saw our kids reaching out. And we learned, unfortunately, 15 years ago, what it was like to have the support of people from around the country, around the world, helping us heal. And I made a promise on that, after that horrific day, to go out and teach these kids to give back to society and to give back to the world. And I think the Big Idea Project allows us to do that, and it epitomizes ultimately how you help others.
Well, Frank, I appreciate you. I remember that awful day. My wife was actually teaching at a school called Columbine Elementary School, and I was traveling. I had a biotech job back then, and I was on my way home. And I got we got our news off the radio back then. We didn't have Twitter and all these other things, which is amazing that in 15 years we have all this crazy stuff. And I thought it was my wife's school, and I'm panicking and I'm freaking out. And come to find out, you pop up on television. I think CNN is in your face and all these other people, and your leadership really calmed the community. And I appreciate that. I also appreciate the fact that you said, your time came up to retire, but you didn't say, I'm going to go hide somewhere. And some of my best mentors in my life are guys and men and women who have fought the good fight and are still in the fight by teaching, by bringing up the next generation. And so I appreciate that you are still as impassioned as you were as an educator, as an administrative educator. And now you're taking all your life skills and giving them to other people and saying, hey, you can still do this.
Well, I appreciate that. And the reason is I'm a man of faith and a cradle Catholic. And on that horrific day, I ran right into the gunfire. And for whatever reason, it wasn't my time. And unfortunately, my dear friend Dave Sanders came up the hallway about the same time I came out of my office, and the two gunmen turned on him and he lost his life. And it was 2 days after the tragedy that I went down to my church, my parish, St. Francis Cabrini, down in the Columbine area. And Father Ken, I was really struggling with survivor's guilt. And he had the students that were members of our parish come out and pray over me. But he whispered two words into my ear. He said, Frank, you were saved for a reason. Now you need to go back and rebuild that community. And I said, who am I to question God's plan? And the reason that I stayed 15 years and beyond, and the reason I'm doing what I'm doing, is I'm doing it in the memory of the 13 who lost their lives and all the others, but to rebuild. And God's got a plan for me, and I do not take that lightly. And if it wasn't for my faith, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, that is really awesome. And you literally did make something great out of the ashes of that tragedy. The fact is, there aren't many things that we can do on this earth that have a lasting impact. And one of those things that we can do is to affect the lives of those who are going to come behind us, to bring up new leaders. There's always a competition in a school for time. And obviously this program takes some time. Now I'm talking about the Big Idea program, of which you're a big supporter. It takes some time, some of the teachers' time, some classroom time. Is that a worthwhile investment in your view?
It pays dividends tenfold. And when all I have to do to make sure that it's worth it is, last year I had an opportunity to go to their Big Idea Night and to sit in the audience there and see kids who were not necessarily the vocal kids originally, but they came through this program, and to get on stage and promote and what they were doing, and literally brought tears to my eyes. I know when I was listening to Brian, when he was talking, to hear about the kids that they went and felt these homeless people, and our kids were exposed to something that if it wasn't for the Big Idea Project, they may never have had these life lessons to go down into the inner city and help homeless people. We had other groups that raised canned food for others, others that worked at the rescue mission, and it was just awesome to see that. And that's what made me proud to be the principal, because, you know, I know our kids will do well with the core areas, but it's what's important to me is not only are they getting their high school diploma and we're giving them all the skills and tools they need to be successful in the next journey in their life, but we want to make sure that we are giving them skills to be good husbands, good fathers, good citizens. And it did my heart good that night to just sitting there in attendance to see these kids that were passionate and to see that they were helping someone that did not have the same opportunities that they did. And hopefully, you know, I live by this philosophy that we can't determine what happens to us in our lives, but we can determine how we respond. And that's what I tried to build everything I've done. And I'm hoping these kids hear that message and carry some of the skills they learned at Columbine, that 10 or 15 years, they're sharing the message that the Halseys are sharing and the teachers that are involved with this project are sharing.
Wonderful.
You are listening to You Get the Blessing, hosted this morning by Chuck King and Biff Gore, and we're sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts, and we are talking with Frank DeAngelis. And I want to ask you a question. I mean, we know your resume, man. I mean, everybody knows you. You're like Colorado royalty. You know, I don't know why you didn't run for governor. You probably should have. But anyway, all that aside, what do you like to do in your spare time? I mean, you know, I know you wear the humanitarian, you are humanitarian, you've done some incredible, fascinating things, but what do you like to do when you're just being you?
Well, I love to work out, especially the older I'm getting. You realize you better take care of your body a little bit better than I did when I was younger, but I love to work out. I love to play golf. I'm still not very good, but at least I'm trying to get better. Have a grandbaby, 1 year old, and just she's the apple of my eye, Mia Isabella, and I get to play grandpa. Yesterday I was there at 5:30 in the morning to see her wake up and feed her and change her diapers. And then, you know what I really enjoy doing is just giving back. I've been so blessed to have so many good things happen in my life, and I just want to help out. The past weekend I was with the Shiloh House that deals with students that have come from abusive families, and just giving back to help out. And I love going and paying it forward.
So, you know, if you ever want to just feel like you are the greatest golfer on the planet, you can take me because I'm pretty awful.
I can attest to that.
Maybe we can get Charles Barkley, you know, and we can get a foursome and we'll all look better.
So I actually got to meet Charles Barkley 2 weeks ago. And he did. I said, man, you got to tell me about that golf swing. He says, I know it's pretty terrible. Isn't it?
So we would probably all feel better about
you
our
know what
golf
I'm saying?
Game. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Frank, I know that your time is very valuable, and you've obviously chosen to invest some of it in supporting the Big Idea Project and this concept called generous leadership that Brian and Tricia talked to us about last week. How would you ask others to help with that project and the kinds of things they're doing?
So many times as an administrator, as a principal, or as a school leader, you get so many people that have projects that they would like to see the school be a part of, and just overwhelmed. And I can't tell you, especially with the social media right now or social networking, all the things that come across my desk. But what I feel where I could help with the Big Idea Project is just the testimonials that I can share, recommendations, making phone calls. I am doing speaking, and part of when I go out and speak, part of my presentation does include the Big Idea Project. So I can explain firsthandly how it impacted Columbine High School, how it can make a difference. And I think that's so important. And I mean, the brochures and the marketing is important, but if they can get a personal reference from me saying, I saw how it changed the culture at Columbine High School, I saw how it changed kids' lives, I think those types of things are something that could make a difference for other principals that are thinking about implementing it. And I think that's, you know, what I want to do as part of this board and this worthwhile project.
So you know, one of the things that Tricia talked about last week was that these young people often don't see themselves as leaders. How does this program make a difference?
It's about building confidence. And what was an eye-opener to me the past few years when I sat down and I saw some of the kids get in front of their peers, in front of adults, I would have in 100 years never guessed that they would be able to do that. I just saw that confidence that built up. They were not necessarily the people that I would see in schools as your big-time leaders. I mean, a lot of times you have your student senators, your counselors. It may be people that are performing on stage. But these kids were kids that stepped up, and I was so proud of them. And you could just see the reaction on their parents' faces, things that they were doing that I think no one expected it, and it's because of this program, and it gives you all the tools to build self-confidence and believe in themselves and make a difference. And what I see happening is I can see these kids move forward that once they left Columbine High School, we've had students that went on, and they're carrying on to their college level. Last year, Bryant got an award. His kids got an award. It was at a suicide prevention program, and I had Bryant so graciously invited me, and I sat down there that night, and I saw one of our students, Breezy, get up and actually emcee the program. And it's because of some of the skills she learned through Mr. Halsey and his class. It's just a phenomenal program, and I am its biggest supporter.
So I have a question for you. I know some of the most impactful people in my life were my principal when I was in high school. He was stern, yet he was firm, and he was just a great man. And how did you, what made you want to become, first of all, an educator, and then become an administrator with this immense burden on your shoulders? The Big Idea is a great, I love the title, The Big Idea Project. I love that. But I also know that there's somebody is a seed planter who plants a seed in us at a very early age, and they whisper in our ears, you can do this. And then we believe it, and then we do it. Who did that for you, or how did that come about in your life?
Well, the nuns. Back in the day in Catholic school, you had the nuns. I have great penmanship because of the nuns and the wax on the knuckles. So I owe my penmanship to the nuns, and anybody that went to Catholic school could share stories. But Mr. Dittman, and he was my psychology teacher and my baseball coach. And I thought I wanted to be an accountant. And all of a sudden, I got in cost accounting, and I remember someone saying, you have to subscribe to Wall Street Journal. And I said, no, I don't. I'm out of here. And I said, this is not something I want to do. And I thought back to someone that made a difference in my life, and that was Mr. Dittman. And I saw the impact that he had on kids' lives each and every day. And I patterned my life after that. And it's ironic that when the principalship opened up at Columbine High School, the two candidates for the position was myself and Mr. Dittman. And he interviewed for the position, and I didn't know this until later, but he said, you don't need me as principal. The person you want as principal is sitting in that waiting room right there. And this is the kind of person wow. he was. He said, this is what this community needs is Frank. And I saw this in him when he was a 16-year-old kid at Random High School. Mm. And he's sitting right there right now, and he's the man for the job. So that's how I build upon my life. He's like a second father to me, and he impacted my life and many of the things that I did at Columbine as far as relationships. And that's the thing that I learned from him. I think so many times when I'm looking to hire teachers, I want teachers that are knowledgeable, but I also want teachers that care about kids. When I interview a teacher, I listen how many times they talk about the kids. If someone comes in and tells me, I got my doctorate, I have my MBA, I've done this, I, red flag goes up. If I have someone come in telling me, I want to change kids' lives, I want to have impact, they just move up to the top of the list.
You know, we hear all kinds of bad things about public schools these days, and everyone's got a criticism. But there's a lot of good going on out there in the public schools because of guys like you, because of people like Brian Halsey. What encouragement do you have for the parents of kids in public schools?
I offered this when we were getting criticized and people were questioning what's wrong with public education. I said, walk into Columbine High School and you'll see what's right with public education. And one of the things that just resurrected my career and kept me so passionate and allowed me to continue even after the darkest days of my life is I would block out an hour to 2 hours a day to go spend time in the classroom. And that rejuvenated me. And even though I left the teaching arena, because I taught social studies, I could go back to the classroom and teach. And one of the highlights is when teachers would invite me back. Mr. Halsey would invite me back to talk to his classes about leadership. And that rejuvenated me. And that's what I would tell parents to do. And we would invite them into the building. Come and spend a day at Columbine High School. And then tell me what's wrong with public education. Everything's right with public education. There's so many good things going on right now, and parents need to get involved, and some of the critics need to get involved. It's just like any occupation. Are there some schools not doing as well or could do better? Yes, but we can't paint this with a broad brush, and there's so many good things going on for public education. And what I always would do is I would put our kids out there to tell them what a difference a school makes.
How do we clone someone like you? Because this attitude that you have is infectious, but it's old school, man. I mean, I remember playing football I grew up in Baltimore, and the brothers at Archbishop Curley had a football program, and they were bringing in, and these were the brothers that wore those brown I forget what it's called, but they were monks.
Yes, they were.
And they would tell you, they said, give your heart to Jesus, but today your backside belongs to me. And they taught you several things. They taught you how to play, how to fight, and how to love as brothers. But they also taught you the meaning of working hard and consequences. And I just don't think that very many people learn how to have a great work ethic. I mean, you 35 years public education. Or was that 35 years as a principal?
No, 35 public, 18 as principal.
I mean, that is absolutely amazing, and you still have your mind intact.
Well, you know, I was so blessed. You know, I think one of the things that allowed me to continue to have some success is my background in coaching, because a lot of the things I had to deal with in running the school after the aftermath of Columbine were some of the same things I had to do as a coach. You surround yourself with good people. Mm. And I think as leaders, you have to realize that a great book that Mr. Halsey gave to me is Better Than Yourself or Greater Than Yourself by Steve Farber. And it's about promoting those people. And what I see is I had the good fortune to travel with Mr. Halsey last year to a conference in Chicago, and just to see him present, it made me proud. I could say this because I just found out how young they are. I could actually be his father, but it makes me like a proud dad to see what he's doing and how he and Trish are changing lives. And, you know, they're so worried about the future generation, but I see what they're doing, and our future is bright.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was going to just say about Trish and Brian, they're great people. We talked to them last week. One of the things I think is amazing about her is she went to Denver Seminary and got her master's in leadership. I don't think people, you know, some people say, oh, you're gonna go to seminary, and you're just everyone who goes to seminary is automatically gonna be some kind of pastor. Well, you're a life pastor when you take it upon yourself to learn how to do things the way Christ wants us to do them. And I think it's amazing that if we want to be leaders, why not learn from why not sit at the feet of Christ and learn from him? Because he was the one who really taught us, I'm going to try to get this right, generous leadership. I hope I'm saying that correctly, which is really servant leadership, is finding the best, the potential in other people and encouraging them to do that.
You know, and gosh, you bring up such a valid point. I know I had an opportunity to be involved in a Bible study program at Columbine, and Brian Halsey was part of that. And we would have these discussions because we would meet with some of our brothers from the Christian school down the street, Front Range Christian. And we talked about what would it be like if we were at a parochial school or a religious school. And, you know, we came to the conclusion for some of us, what these kids are seeing from Mr. Halsey and Mr. Laurie, who's our football coach, and Mr. Tonelli, Christ-like behavior. Mm-hmm. And for some of the kids in public schools, they may never see that. And I think it was important just by the way they lead their lives is so important. The role models. And even though we may not be able to quote scripture, it's how you lead your life. And it's what Christ would do and what Jesus would do. And I think that's so important. And you treat people the way you want to be treated. Yeah. You live by the golden rule. And I think that is so valuable. And for some of these kids, that's the only time they're going to get that in their lives.
St. Francis had a very popular saying that people quote all the time. It says, share the gospel. and if at all possible, use your words. And I believe that. I believe that you let your light shine, and as you let your light shine, other people will be attracted to you. Again, that's leadership. And then you have the opportunity to speak into people's lives after they have observed you. One of my mentors, Bob Belts, he often talks about this very thing, this top down leadership, and how we are to be light and salt. But you become light and salt by being an example, you know.
Well, and I think the important thing is, and what allowed me to have some success is, you hire good people, you surround yourself with good people, and you delegate but don't micromanage. And I think so many times you have people that are great leaders and they have all these philosophies on leadership and they have doctorates in leadership, but they want to micromanage. And I use the example of a kid, you know, mom tells the kid to go upstairs and make their bed, and then they go back upstairs and redo it. And all of a sudden, kid's saying, why am I going to redo it? Why should I make it? My mom's going to redo it. It's the same thing in leadership, that if I give a teacher or someone, I said, I want you to work on this project, I'm going to be there to support them. But at the same time, that's how you develop that leadership skills. That's how you develop confidence in the kids. And that's what I saw with the Big Idea Project. The Halsey served as advisors, but the kids, this was generated by them. And this is what's so important. And I think that's how you develop leadership.
Sometimes one of the hardest parts of parenting, in my view, and one of the hardest parts of leading, is to allow people to do things for themselves. Frank, you got a minute left to tell the world, according to Frank DeAngelis, what needs to be done.
This is a Papa D lesson. I did this all the time at Columbine. What needs to be done is, our future is so bright. Don't give up on our kids. And you just need to treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, I spoke this morning at a middle school about the comments that you make can affect people for the rest of their lives. And I use this example. And I asked these sixth graders, I said, was there ever a comment made towards you many, many years ago? And even though people apologize time and time again, that you're still affected by it? And they said yes. And I said, please choose your words wisely and lead by example. And it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be a leader in the sixth grade. You could be a leader in the seventh grade just by things. And try to make this world better than the way you found it.
What awesome advice from a guy who's been there.
Golden nuggets of life. Thank you so much. We really appreciate
my
you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you,
You're
Frank.
Listening
Thank
you. To You Get the Blessing with Biff and Chuck King, sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. And we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on.